Let's open our Bibles here to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2, as we finish out our Characters of Christmas series, and we've spent some time talking about Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, talked about Jesus on Christmas Eve as the way of salvation, and this morning we're going to focus in on the wise men out of Matthew chapter number 2. And we're going to pick up in verse number 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season where we can stop and just think about Jesus and remember the reason that he came. And Lord, the gospel message has gone forth this past week in a great way, not just in our community, but around the globe. And we pray that you would take all of those gospel messages, all those gospel invitations, and use them to continue to work in the hearts and lives of people. We think of the people that were here on Christmas Eve that heard about Jesus as the way of salvation. And God, if they do not know Jesus, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning among us that has not trusted Jesus as the way of salvation. Lord, I pray that even though we're going to focus on a different aspect of the story, that your Spirit would convict them of their wrongdoing and help them to trust in Jesus as the way of salvation and be saved today. God, for believers, we pray that you would challenge us in the area of our worship. What kind of worship do we have? Who or what are we really worshiping? Lord, may we bring it back around to Jesus as we've just sung about just a moment ago. Lord, work in our hearts today. We don't want to leave this place the same way that we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we had Christmas yesterday. There was a lot of gifts given, a lot of gifts received. And for some people, getting gifts can be kind of uncomfortable, and you'd rather give gifts than get them. How many of you say, "I would rather give a gift than get one any day"? All right, got some of those in here. How many of you say, "Forget all that, I want the presents, give me the goods"? All right, yeah, you can be honest, it's all right, yeah. Got some people in here say, "Give me the gifts, those are the ones that I want." Now, those of you that really enjoy giving gifts, you gave some gifts yesterday, share with us, what is your favorite gift that you gave yesterday? So I don't want to know what you got unless you gave yourself something. Some people do that. What's the best gift you gave yesterday? Whether it was the most fun because you the way they reacted to it or whatever else. Best gift you gave yesterday. What do you want to share with us? Yeah.
Long licorice.
Long licorice. So Sherry really loves Twizzlers, I take it. 2-foot-long Twizzlers, okay, yeah. Yeah, it's fun when you get a gift and it's like the one and they just love it. Yes, ma'am. Gave each other chair massagers, okay, yeah. Not bad, that's the way to do it right there. give the gift that you enjoy getting, maybe. So God came back to you. But how cool is that to be able to watch them open that up? Yeah.
Violet's popcorn maker.
Yes. Violet loves popcorn more than anything in this world. And she'd been talking about a popcorn popper, wanting a popcorn popper rather than just have microwave popcorn, which she loves. She wanted her own popper, and she got one yesterday, and it was amazing to see the response to that. And so we kind of have these gifts that we give, and it's kind of fun to do. I gave my wife a couple of gifts yesterday. The one that I really enjoyed watching her open was her iRobot vacuum cleaner. So, Jill, next year, get her an iRobot. She is just freaking out about the idea of having a robot vacuum her house. So we have this stupid carpet that sheds like crazy. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, you come in and you see this like hair. It's not hair. It's from the carpet. It's making it. I don't know what's happening. There's like these balls of hair that come from this carpet. Rug. Okay. I'm stand corrected. Same thing to me. And she's constantly having to sweep and vacuum and all this stuff. And so we got her this iRobot that she absolutely loved. And there's something about giving good gifts. You know, that there's some enjoyment to it. And today we're going to look at some men who gave some really good gifts out of Matthew 2, excuse me. And verse number 1 says this: Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And so Jesus had already been born at this point. And it tells us that these wise men came. The word you often hear is the word magi, which is a Latin word. And if you've not ever taken some time to actually study who these magi are, it's quite an interesting study. Daniel, most of us have heard of Daniel in the Bible. Daniel was a magi. In fact, he was chief of the magi in Babylon. And their chief skill for the magi, some, you know, think of it as looking to the stars, but that wasn't it. Their chief skill had to do with interpreting dreams. And you remember, those of you that are familiar with the story of Daniel, how that was a skill that God had given to him and allowed him the ability to be able to interpret dreams. And the magi were known for that. The priests of the Magian religion were the Magi, and their religion kind of mirrored Judaism in a lot of ways. Had a lot of things in common as far as the priesthood and a lot of the things that they did. But one of the jobs of the Magi was to select the next king of the Parthian Empire. And so it tells us that these wise men here came from the east, and I did mention the Parthian Empire. Parthia was an ancient empire of Asia and was located in what is now known as Iran and Afghanistan, so in that region of the world. During the first century BC, it grew into an empire extending from the Euphrates River to the Indus River and from the Oxus River to the Indian Ocean. It was a very large empire. And it rivaled the Roman Empire. These two empires were in conflict with one another. And so just to give you an idea about who these individuals were, where they came from. Now, how many wise men were there? Who knows how many wise men there were?
Three is the wrong answer.
So for those that are wondering what's going on, Nancy this morning practiced her scripture reading, which we never got to, by the way, so scripture reading this morning, and when she was reading the scripture, she said three wise men in the scripture, and I just said, that's the wrong answer, there's not three. So she knew what answer not to give. There were not just three individuals showing up, and we'll get to that in just a second here. But these guys show up, verse number 2, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And that's a big statement because Herod was called the king of the Jews. He was not born king of the Jews. He was appointed as king of the Jews. And the Jews were not too happy about that, for one thing. So they make the statement. They're looking. Remember, these are priests whose job it is to name the next king of the Parthian Empire. They show up in Jerusalem to the king and say, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" Not somebody appointed. It says, "For we saw his star when it rose and came to worship him." So one of the questions I thought about is, you have these guys showing up, and it wasn't just three people. There is some tradition and some things about stories about how we came to three. It has to do with the three gifts, and their tradition even gives names to the so-called three wise men. I won't take time to go into all that right now. But it wasn't just three guys kind of sneaking in. This is a whole entourage of people. At this point, Israel is a part of the Roman Empire. They are coming from a rival empire. Israel was kind of like a buffer zone between the two. So you had, in the west, you had the Roman Empire. The east, you had the Parthian Empire. And Israel was kind of in the middle, in this buffer zone, and they would go back and forth as far as who was controlling Israel at the time. Now, in this time in history, Rome was in control of the area. So if you are coming from another empire into Rome, you're not just going to bring three guys in saying, "Hey, we're looking for this king." They have to come in with a whole entourage of people, military might for protection, all of that stuff. This is a large group of people that is coming in and saying, "Hey, where is he at?" And one of the questions, as I mentioned a moment ago, that I've thought about is, how did they know? Right? How did they know? You say, "Well, they saw his star." Well, how'd they know his star? How'd they know that? Now, I had already mentioned to you, Daniel was a magi. He was chief of the magi. And for those of you that like to spend some time studying in your Bible, you remember in Daniel chapter number 9, I believe it's verses 24 to 27, there was a timeline that Daniel gave for a prince, an anointed prince, anointed king to show up. And Daniel 9 gives the timeline. So apparently these magi knew what little scripture that they had. And they were watching, they were waiting, they knew about the time that the anointed king would show up. So when you have, and I like to say in quotes, star, this star shows up, they know now's the time. It's time to make our way to Jerusalem to see and to find the king. And they'd come, it tells us, the purpose that they had come, verse 2, was to worship him. We want to worship him that is born king of the Jews. That was the whole purpose that they'd shown up, was to spend some time worshiping him. And that brings me to something I want you to stop and to think about, is what are you worshiping today? Or who are you worshiping today? Because we worship a lot of things. Most of us worship ourselves. We set ourselves up as king. We set ourselves up as God. And we worship ourselves. We're so filled with pride and self. And can I be honest with you? This is something I have to battle every single day. I have to fight every single day to push aside that pride and that selfishness from me. Some of us worship things. We worship stuff. Some of us worship a political leader. And man, we've seen that over the last 10, 20 years, haven't we? How people in our country, we love to worship these political leaders. And I don't care what side of politics you are on, it is not right for a Christian to worship a political leader. There's only one political savior that's going to come. His name is Jesus, and he's not here yet. So I'm not worshiping at the feet of any politician, no matter if they lean right or lean left or stand in the middle or whatever else. We worship politics. We worship money. We worship jobs. We worship people. What are you worshiping today? See, these men, they came to worship Jesus. They came to worship this anointed king that had come. And it seems they had an idea for the purpose for which he came. We'll talk about that as we get into their gifts in just a little bit here. So all these guys show up whose job it is to anoint the next king of the Parthian Empire, rival to Rome. And they say, hey, where is he at? We want to worship this king. Look at verse number 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Can you finish this phrase with me? If mama ain't happy, what's the rest of it?
Ain't nobody happy.
That's right. No, ain't nobody happy if mama ain't happy. Here, Herod is unhappy, and can I say it is justifiable for Herod not to be happy? You have this group of people coming from a rival empire whose job it is to anoint the next king, and they make a statement that would have pricked him in his heart, saying, hey, where's the guy that's born king of the Jews? He wasn't just put here like you were. Where's the guy that was born that way? And then it tells us all Jerusalem is troubled with him, and they have a right to be troubled. Because here you have this group of guys from a rival empire coming in, stirring up conflict. It could have meant war for Jerusalem. So there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of instability in this time, in this place. So when these guys show up asking this question, seeking this king, it's going to cause some problems. And so it tells us that Herod assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So he wanted to know, where is he supposed to be at? And so they do their thing. They study the scripture. It tells us in verse 5 and 6, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And then they quote the prophet for us. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. And so you think about all these events, these prophecies that were foretold about Jesus, even included where he would come from. That's why this whole story has been orchestrated the way it is, with the census and all this stuff, making sure that the prophecy comes true. God is in control of everything. Can I tell you that? And there's a lot of times it feels like things are out of control, whether politically, whether health-wise, with the pandemic and everything else, and Omicron and every last Greek letter that's going to come after it, because it's going to continue on. And it feels like things are out of control a lot of times. How many of you have felt like the holidays got a little out of control? Okay, yeah, some of us. We had some interesting happenings around our house on Christmas Eve. It was a lot of chaos going on, and sometimes it feels out of control. God is never out of control. If it's happening, God knows about it. He's got a reason for it. You may not understand why, and I may not understand why, and can I say we don't need to know why? God does not owe you an explanation. God does not owe me an explanation. If I feel like God owes me an explanation, you know who I'm worshiping? I'm worshiping me. God is in control here of these events that are taking place. So he says, hey, where is he supposed to be born at? Bethlehem of Judea. Then, after he finds that out, he has this interaction with the wise men. In verse number 7, he summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. So he wants to know, hey, how long has it been since you saw the star? Like, when did you see it? Because he wants to know how old this king is. How old is the child? That's what I want to know. That's the real information. And he gives a sense of false information here in verse number 8. Sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. He says, hey, it's in Bethlehem. You go find him. Once you've found him, come back. Tell me where he is. I want to worship him too. I want to worship him too. Of course, for those of us that know the story, we know he's lying. He doesn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to kill Jesus. He wants to take out the competition. And he's going to work to exterminate Jesus by killing all children 2 years old and under. That's what he's going to do. And sometimes, even in church like this, we have some pretenders. We have some people that aren't really followers of Jesus. They've not put their faith and trust in Jesus as the way of salvation. You're not a Christian. Christian believes in Jesus. Christian follows Jesus. If we're here today because, you know what, going to church makes me a good person, you're a pretender. Going to church doesn't make you a good person. That's nowhere in the scripture. We need to follow Jesus. If we think that doing good things somehow earns us favor with God, you're a pretender. They were pretending. They didn't really worship Jesus. He didn't want to follow Jesus. He's pretending. Verse 9 says this, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Notice verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So there's a lot of beliefs about this story that are not accurate to what Scripture actually says. Some say, they followed the star from the east. Every day they got up, every night they got up, they followed the star, and it kind of led them all the way there. That's not the case. Okay? They saw the star in the east that said, a king is born. So they took what information they had. They know a king is coming. They, of their own accord, made their way to Jerusalem, where the king of Jews would presumably be at. The king of the Jews is born. Where would we go? We'd go to the capital. We'd go to Jerusalem to find him. And so they go to Jerusalem. They talk to Herod. Herod says, hey, he's in Bethlehem. They come out from talking to Herod, they look up, they see the star, and it tells us in verse number 10, when they see the star, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Can I ask you a question? If you've been following this star for weeks and for months, every single day, when you walk out of the throne and you see the star again, do you rejoice with exceeding joy? No, you don't. You've been following this star for quote-unquote months, according to some people. That's not the case. They saw the star, made their way to Jerusalem to find the king. When they get done talking with Herod, they come out and the star is back. It's here. And they are excited about it. And that star, in quotes, leads them then to Bethlehem, to the very place where Jesus is at. They follow the star from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to the very house where Jesus was. And there's a lot of speculation about what this star was. It is my personal opinion that this is the Shekinah glory that leads them to where the Son of God was born. And so kind of setting straight some of that thought about the star and how and when they followed it. Verse number 11 is where we really want to get down to. It says, and going into the house, they saw the child, okay, not the baby. The wise men were not at the manger scene. He's a child here. Probably around 2, according to the children that Herod killed. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. That's exactly what each and every one of us ought to be doing with our lives. So we ought to be worshiping Jesus. Fall down and worship him. This word worship is kind of an interesting word. It is the idea of falling prostrate. Basically, it's this. This is what it means to worship. It is the idea of full submission, full surrender. You are in control. You are the one who is high and lifted up, that I am nothing. I am your servant. All the praise, all the worship, all the glory belongs to you, just like we sung in that song a little bit ago. See, worship's not a style of music. It's not a style of singing. Worship is an inner attitude of our heart of praise and honor and glory to the one that we are worshiping. And that ought to be Jesus. And it tells us as they worshiped him, they open up their treasures. See, they didn't give him the garbage. They didn't give him the leftovers. They didn't give him the afterthoughts. They opened up their treasures. One of the things, interesting things about my kids since moving here, they've had an opportunity they have not had before, and that is to kind of make an income in more of a steady way. So one of the things my girls, they love to get each other gifts. They love to do that. And with not very much money, that kind of hinders what you can purchase. So they would often go to the dollar store and want to buy something for each other. They'd go to the dollar store, buy each other stuff, often the same exact stuff they'd give to each other because, you know, dollar store, limited supply of stuff. So that wasn't the case this year. This year, they all really thought about what each other liked. They had money to be able to purchase it. It wasn't just some throwaway thing. It was, I've thought about this. I've invested in it, spent money. And there were times where, especially with Violet, where Lysander was like, you don't need to buy that for your sister. That's way too much money. You don't need to buy that. But she did. She wanted to. And often we give God the dollar store stuff. We give God the leftovers. We give God the afterthought. That's not worship. They open up their treasures, and it tells us they give him these gifts here, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is probably not an exhaustive list. These are the ones that matter according to the story. Each of these gifts were prophetic. Each of these gifts had a purpose and a reason behind them. And we don't have all a bunch of time, and you don't want me to spend a bunch of time talking about why each of these gifts represent these different things. Gold represents deity, the fact that he is God. Frankincense represents priesthood. They would take frankincense and mix it in with showbread. It's a priestly thing. Talked about the fact that Jesus would not just be God, he was a priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And then we have myrrh. Myrrh, when it is crushed, was an ointment for burial. This is why I mentioned a moment ago that I think they had a big idea of what Jesus actually came here to do. And so they present these very prophetic gifts to him, and they worship him. What a challenge for us to think about, not just are we worshiping Jesus how we are, but what are we giving to him in our worship? As an outflow of our worship. Verse number 12, it says this, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Remember, these people, their main skill was interpreting dreams. And so God reaches out to them in a dream and says, don't go back there. They go another way. And I want you just to stop and think about you for just a second as we get ready to kind of wind down today. What are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? If it's anything or anyone other than Jesus, it's time, as we sang, to come back to the heart of worship. It's time to put Jesus back in his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and worship him. And next week, we're going to start a new series called All In, and we're going to talk about how we do that. How we get back to making him King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives. Are you giving Jesus your best? Maybe that's a commitment you need to make today. Is, hey, 2022, I'm making a commitment to give Jesus my best. I'm not just going to give him whatever's left over. He's going to get the very best. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to follow him. Matthew 2:1 says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went from before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The wise men came to worship Jesus, and we ought to as well. Let's worship him with our hearts and our lives today.